morning. Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and we're going to have a very interesting show for you today. At the tail end, we're going to take up a roundup of legislation that's pending and some amazing new things. There's some breaking news we're going to be talking about. But I wanted to start off with something very important, an organization called the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. They're having their 25th anniversary this year. Executive Director Steve Bauer, who's been with Steve, have you been with them since day one?
I've been with them since day one.
Okay, all right. Your second career, as it were. And Steve is executive director, and he's got some wonderful war stories about FEA and some of the things it has done and is planning to do. But my favorite really starts with the tragedy at the Oklahoma City bombing in, I guess it was April 1995. The Alfred P. Murrow Building, and we looked it up. It occurred at 9:02 Central Daylight Time. It's a truck bomb. It damaged 300 buildings within a 16-block radius, killed 168 people. I guess most, if not all of them, were federal workers, including 19 children under age 6 who were in a preschool, and these were the children of federal workers, and 200 children, including one who was not yet born, I believe, were made orphans, either lost one, in some cases two parents that day. And FEA, with a lot of help from corporate sponsors, stepped in and said that these kids, when it came their time, would get a free ride, full payment, a scholarship to any school they could get into. Is that pretty much it?
That's a perfect telling of the story, Mike. And in fact, it's funny that you looked up at 902. The memorial in Oklahoma City, which is a beautiful site, and I recommend anybody that gets a chance to go there to see it. You enter under an arch that says 901, and you exit under an arch that says 902.
Oh, my God.
And there are just beautiful chairs, glass chairs, commemorating each of the 168 people that died, and they're lit from below. It's an incredible sight at night, and the survivor tree is there. And
oh,
it's
that's
built right on the site of where this building stood.
That's staggering. And I mean, we were under attack domestically.
Absolutely.
Terrorists.
Yeah, the way I put it is there were 168 people that went to work one day and never came home.
Yeah.
And they went to work, in most of them, in service of their country.
Yeah. Yeah, and because the building housed half a dozen agencies, I think, or more.
Yeah, there were even more than that. Yeah. And HUD lost 35 people that day, Social
Amazing.
Security 20. We had scattered a DEA, a Secret Service agent. There were just folks from all different agencies in there.
Well, and the same thing, a repeat of that happened in the 9/11 attacks when the airplane crashed into the Pentagon, and FEA came to the rescue again and said, we're going to take care of those kids who were made orphans or whose parents were so severely burned or hurt in scars from that are literally horrific. I've seen and met some of these people. Tom Timmon on the morning show, I was telling him about this, and he wanted to know, and I said I would ask you, how are these kids doing? Because I believe you told me at one time that the Oklahoma City kids in particular, that a disproportionate amount went into service-type jobs or healing jobs, medicine, nursing, that kind of thing. And you've been the godfather to 200 kids, haven't you?
Hey, it's been amazing to see them progress. There's certainly some that have had problems, psychological problems, getting over it, can't concentrate. Some have taken 6 years to get through a four-year college. Some have gone back and had to quit and go back again. And, you know, we've had some that, they got their degree after 12 years, but mm-hmm. they weren't in school that whole time. But so many of them have been physical therapists, special education teachers, working with the deaf. It's amazing teaching. They're not getting MBAs.
Yeah,
they're not out to make money. They're out to give back. And part of that I really attribute to the legacy of their parent and the fact that they recognize that people still remember reaching out to them, getting them through college, and they want to give back again.
That's so interesting. I remember you told me that years ago, and you think, well, it does make sense. And the fact that you have your six-year students and even your 12-year students, a lot of struggles for them. And I believe you said in the case of the Oklahoma City children that many of them stayed in the area.
Yes, our costs have been actually slightly less than we had anticipated. And, of course, it's hard to figure what it's going to cost to put 200 kids through school over 22 years.
Yeah.
But Most of the families, a very close-knit community, have stayed in Oklahoma. They've gone to Oklahoma State schools as opposed to a private university elsewhere, even though we would pay foot the whole bill no matter where they went.
I mean, if they got into Oxford or Cambridge, you'd send them to Oxford or Cambridge, right?
Absolutely. We've put a lot of kids through Ivy League schools. Mm-hmm. We've had kids in film schools in L.A. that are very expensive, but most of them have stayed and will continue to live in Oklahoma. That's where their roots are.
And I believe you said, I'm looking at the column here, that there were 50 children at the Pentagon, survivors of people who were killed or severely injured at the Pentagon.
And that would be specifically of civilian federal employees.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is, and we didn't say at the beginning, but we certainly are, you know, our charity provides educational and emergency financial assistance to civilian federal employees and their families. We work very closely with Army Emergency Relief and Navy Marine Corps Relief Society and Air Force Aid Society, because some military were killed in the Pentagon, obviously. But most people don't realize the majority of the people that died were civilian federal employees. We have their 50 kids to put through college. They're moving right along. We're in the 20s so far. It's been 10 years almost, which seems amazing mm-hmm. to me. But those kids are also getting full rides. And, of course, they're East Coast kids, and yeah. schools tend to be more expensive here, and they have more choices. But they are doing very well. We just had a lovely girl. I happen to know her mom. I worked with her mom when I was a federal employee at one point. She went to Brown University, and just so appreciative of the fact that she had that opportunity that she probably would not have had it not been for our Pentagon Fund.
And I'm intrigued by the I don't know if it was a little boy or a girl who in Oklahoma City who was not born when their parent was killed.
There was one child born 3 months after the bombing, obviously who lost her father.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's why our program is a 22-year program.
Yeah.
We are 16 years into it, and it's been a beautiful thing to see.
So she's 16 years old thereabouts. Huh?
Exactly, yeah. And still a ways to go.
Okay, need to take a short break. Be right back here on WFED talking with Steve Bauer, Executive Director of the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102, contract series 83500.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
As the president begins the drawdown process in Afghanistan, some other things are going to change. There will be a shift from quick-impact stability programs run by international agencies to economic growth and infrastructure projects run by Afghans over the long term. Hydroelectric dams, gas fields, mines, dams, roads, and increased agricultural production will be the focus as we approach the drawdown deadline of 2014. I'm J.J. Green.
Solar activity, which causes geomagnetic storms in space, can impact everything from over-the-horizon radar, often used for aircraft and missile launches from a long distance away, to submarine detection systems, to two things we've come to rely on, our cell phones and GPS. Airink has developed a space environmental impact tool that advises, before it happens, what will be affected by bad weather in space. For more information and career opportunities, log on to arinc.com.
Hey, it's the Geico Gecko. Now, as a federal employee, you're probably one for a smart presentation, so I've put together some charts and graphs here. There you go. That will help illustrate the money you could save by switching to Geico. First thing you'll notice is that Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. Now, this is big news. But that shouldn't come as any surprise from a car insurance company that has been serving government employees since 1936. And as you can see on this graph here, it's probably why we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. Yeah, no, I do actually realise you can't see these, but trust me, they're rather impressive. Especially the 97% customer satisfaction rate. And when you consider it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more, well, all you GS7 employees or above should just contact Geico. Tell them, Mike.
Hey folks, this is Mike Causey, and the Gecko said it best. Most federal employees GS7, the equivalent or above, could get a discount on their car insurance. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight is a wider circle. Every day they receive hundreds of calls for help, most of which come from mothers who can't obtain the bare necessities of life that many take for granted. A wider circle collects donations of basic need items for those mothers and others living in need. Go to federalnewsradio.com to learn more and become part of the solution today. This message brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us today, and I hope you'll tell a friend about this. Talking with Steve Bauer. He's Executive Director of the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund, and we've been talking about the fund with the help of corporate sponsors and an awful lot of federal workers who give to FEA as part of the combined federal campaign, putting the children, 200 children who were orphaned by the Oklahoma City bombings, and another 50 who were orphaned because of the Pentagon attacks on the Pentagon in 9/11. And that's big stuff, big news, and, you know, kudos to you and everybody that's had a hand in that. But it doesn't stop. Now, this year we've had tornadoes in the South and flooding in the Midwest and in the South, and I guess fires in Arizona and to some extent New Mexico. Is FEA involved in that?
Yeah, FEA is involved everywhere and every day when federal employees need help. It's a nonstop operation. It's called our Emergency Assistance Program. We give grants and we do no interest loans to people. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary, and we went back and looked at some statistics and gathered, you know, things of how many people have we helped, how much have we done. Over $7.3 million in emergency assistance. And the number that really hit home to me is that as of Monday morning, and that number has gone up since then because we help people every day, we helped 13,008 federal employees who had emergency problems where they were being evicted, they had lost their home. We've had 50 federal employees who have lost their homes to the tornadoes and the flooding that's been going on this spring. And things like that happen every year, whether it's hurricanes, floods, fires, tornadoes. And FEA's always got to be there to help.
Now, I know, and I'm going to ask about that a little bit, but in some cases, in one case, there was a major tornado near Homestead Air Force Base in Florida, and that would be a natural habitat for federal workers. But in cases like the tornadoes in Alabama and whatnot, do they seek you out? I mean, I guess there's some situations where they have no recourse. They don't have a telephone or a computer. How do you get together with them?
Oh, we actually reach out to the federal agencies that are in whatever area. In the case of the tornadoes, for example, we were in contact with the Social Security Regional Office in Atlanta that handles Alabama. Their management association, the Social Security Management Association, contacted the managers of each office. They do it routinely to see, are all your employees okay? Did anybody die? Is anybody hurt? Thankfully, nobody had died, but in that process, they found a number of people that had lost their homes. Their homes were damaged. They couldn't come to work, those types of things. And through that chain, if you will, we were able to get to all these employees, because employees tend not to, they're proud people. Yep. They don't necessarily want to ask for help, yet all their fellow employees want to help them.
The irony of it is they'll ask for somebody else, but not for themselves.
Absolutely. In fact, you mentioned Homestead. Hurricane Andrew was the hurricane that blew through, and I was there helping federal employees and watching them out there trying to deliver Social Security checks, get generators to people that needed them for medical purposes because there was no electricity and there wouldn't be for 3 weeks. So the federal employees were out there helping people, even though they had lost their homes. Their cars were destroyed. They were worried about their families because that's what they do every day.
Yeah, this is the mindset and the mentality of the first responders who ran back into the World Trade Center several times. Some of them didn't come out. You know, that makes sense when you explain it that way. And I know you hate telling the story because you said your staff has said if you tell it again in their presence, they'll revolt. They'll pull a Newt Gingrich on you. But I love the time that you went to, I believe it was Florida, with a suitcase full of money.
It was the same Homestead, Florida, after Hurricane Andrew. It had wiped out the town. And I was asked to come down there to help because that's what we do. And I said I would, and they said, bring cash.
Right.
And they meant bring cash. They knew they would not have electricity for 3 weeks. The roads were impassable. And I had to get through security with $20,000 in $100 bills that I was not going to let out of my sight. I didn't care what TSA said. I was very nervous, had it in the inside, just carrying it with me all the way down there. But people needed cash. They needed money to buy water. They had nothing. And ATMs don't work when you don't have electricity. Some people don't think about that. You couldn't use a credit card because the machines wouldn't work at the stores that were open. There wasn't a lot of backup electricity. You couldn't get, I had to take a helicopter to get into Homestead from Miami. The roads had trees and debris all over them. So it was an amazing thing.
Well, and I knew you back then, too. And you definitely fit the profile of a drug smuggler.
Was the Customs Service that picked me up in a helicopter.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, that's the big stuff, the scholarships and the things. But you mentioned during the break that people will come to you, and it's not – a big deal in the scheme of things, but to them it's do or die. Somebody's hit by an uninsured motorist and they can't get their car repaired or they can't buy groceries. It gets down to that level?
Absolutely. A lot of places don't have public transportation. You don't fix your car, you can't get to work. You don't get to work, you don't get paid. So they fix their car and then they realize they don't have money to pay the rent. FEA is there to help with things like that. Employee assistance programs can counsel people, can refer them places, but they can't pay their rent. And we do that. We prevented untold numbers of evictions, utility shutoffs. And think about how productive an employee is if they're sitting at work with an eviction notice in their back pocket, or if they're sitting at work wondering if when the kids come home from school today, the lights will still be on. We help those people. We make them more productive. We make life easier for them. And these are all people that got into the situation through no fault of their own. And we're there for them every day. We've helped 13,008 people in those types of situations. And that number has gone up since the beginning of the show. We help people every minute of every day.
Now, federal workers can give to you through the Combined Federal Campaign. They can give, I guess, anytime. I mean, we'll give a website, I guess. But, I mean, they could send you a check today if they wanted to.
Absolutely. And a lot of people are doing that. We're running a campaign right now for our 25th anniversary because times have been hard. There's no question about it. Donations have been fairly flat over the last 2 years. It's tough times for everybody out there. They're watching their 401ks go down and their thrift savings plan numbers go down. So we're running a $25 for 25 years campaign right now to restuff our coffers so we can continue to help people every day. The website is FEA.org, FEEA.org. There's information there on it, and we're really excited that the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association Federal Employee Program has put up $25,000 in matching funds. So every time you contribute $25 right now or more, we will get the same amount, doubling your donation from the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association during this 25 for 25 campaign.
Oh, that's like the PBS fundraiser. That's great. And your corporate sponsors, in addition to Blue Cross Blue Shield, you have what, Geico?
Geico has been a faithful sponsor for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. They make a donation from the Geico Philanthropic Foundation. I know people in the D.C. area know that Geico used to stand for Government Employees Insurance Company. Mm-hmm. Most of America doesn't know that. Yep. They don't use that anymore. It's just know Geico.
The Gecko.
Exactly.
And long-term care partners.
They've only been in existence for about 9 years now. They're in their second seven-year contract, but they have become a faithful corporate sponsor as well of our programs.
Okay. And so if people want to go on the site today, feea.org, check you guys out. I guess I looked at your website earlier, and it does show what you do, how to get in touch with you. It talks about the scholarship program. And if somebody is looking for a scholarship for their kid, presumably grandchild, or themselves, who's eligible for these?
Well, we have different programs. The basic program is for federal employees themselves and their children. That program opens up every January through March. The application's available on our website. And then over the summer, as we're doing right now, we're making the awards. That program can run anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000 a year. And that is dependent on CFC contributions, combined federal campaign contributions to FEA. That's where that money comes from. We do have a program for grandchildren, but that's only through the National Active and Retired Federal Employees. We run a program for NARF. You have to be a NARF member, and then your children and grandchildren can apply for scholarships through that.
Oh, that's great. And scholarships and, as you say, some emergency loans and grants as well.
Absolutely. In fact, with the economy the way it's been, that's the one thing we've seen an incredible spike in. 4 years ago, we were doing $150,000 in no-interest loans to pay rent and so on. Now we're doing $500,000 a year. And this month, we did $50,000, which is a $600,000 pace. The number of requests keep going up and up. It's harder and harder out there. The employee may have his job, but the spouse lost theirs. The ex-spouse lost theirs and can't pay child support anymore. Those types of things are happening every day. One of my favorites is the employee who had three adult children who all moved back home because they had all lost their job with their families. Suddenly, we had a federal employee with 12 additional mouths to feed.
Outstanding. Okay. Better him or her than me. Okay. So thank you, Steve Bauer, for coming in. And again, if you want to contact FEA, it's
www.feea.
Federal Employee Education Assistance Fund, .org.
You got it.
Steve, is there a phone number you could give out?
Absolutely. People can call 800-338- 0755. They can contribute over the phone as they can online. But from our website, they can do online donations right there. They can get applications for assistance. And
very good. Thank you, Steve Bauer. We're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll be talking with the two Steves, Steve Watkins and Steve Losey from the Federal Times, about the latest news.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates, if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it. Listen next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour's Conversation with Authors series, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness. What are the best online tools to engage and be engaged by the public? What are some of the key challenges facing public managers in this area? Join host Michael Keegan as he pulls back the veil on how online engagement tactics and tools can be used and when they work best with Matt Leininger, author of the IBM Center Report, Using Online Tools to Engage and Be Engaged by the Public, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
It's not like I said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a cyber expert looking for invisible threats online. But the challenges of developing complex strategies to protect critical assets intrigued me. It's like an incredibly serious game of chess, and I play to win.
I got my start monitoring firewalls for amateur hackers. Now, I lead a team of cyber experts protecting client-sensitive data and information systems. It's important work, and our team is dedicated. There's no way we're going to lose.
For a cyber career that's something truly extraordinary, look no further than the strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton. As a global leader in cybersecurity, Booz Allen offers competitive salaries and benefits, ongoing training, and the opportunity to work with recognized cyber thought leaders at a company committed to helping you get the most out of work and life. That's why Fortune named them one of America's 100 best companies to work for again.
That's why I chose Booz Allen.
That's why I chose Booz Allen. For a cyber career that's something truly extraordinary, visit BoozAllen.com/FED. Booz Allen is an equal opportunity employer.
Schneider Electric has a proven 100-year-long record of supporting federal agencies to help you meet your responsibilities to mandates, missions, and taxpayers by combining the expertise of brands you know and trust, like Square D, APC, and Pelco, to make your energy safe, reliable, efficient, productive, and green. When it comes to power, process and machine, IT room, building, and security management, Schneider Electric's your energy expert and green partner for a sustainable and prosperous future. Visit Schneider-Electric.us.
Profile America, Wednesday, June 22nd. One of the biggest advances in bolstering the morale of the nation's armed forces has been the ability to send and receive electronic mail from such remote areas as Afghanistan. While today it's email, in World War II it was V-mail. The idea was to microfilm regular letters being sent to GIs overseas to save room for shipping war material. At their destination, they were blown back up to normal size. The first V-mail was sent on this day in 1942. Today, even though Americans increasingly rely on email, the Postal Service still delivers more than 177 billion cards, letters, catalogs, and magazines each year. That works out to close to a half a billion pieces of mail every day. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome to your turn, the Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. We were talking with Steve Bauer earlier. He's executive director of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. And if you'll check out my column today, a story about what FEA does, what it's done for the children of feds who were killed in the line of duty, and how you can donate to FEA if you so choose. And that will be very helpful. My guests now are the two Steves, Steve Watkins, who is editor of the Federal Times, and Steve Losey, senior writer for Federal Times. And guys, I'm really glad to have you around today.
Yeah, happy to be with you, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah, listen, there's just so much going on. Don't really know where to start, but I remember thinking several weeks ago you made the point that one of the things that worries federal employees the most is this, the talk of changing the retirement formula from the high three to the high five. And as you pointed out, A, it hasn't been introduced anywhere. It's just an idea that's sort of floating in the ether. Its economic impact wouldn't be that much, but there are some other things that are much more realistic and much more real and maybe heading at us. And you had the story about the various federal employee groups contacting Vice President Biden, who's heading the Biden group or the Blair House group, about what they may be doing.
That's right. Pretty much all the major federal employee unions and some of the employee associate non-union associations, they're banding together to try to head off this effort to make federal employees pay a good bit more for their FERS pensions. They, in the letter they sent the other week, they said, hey, look, we understood when there had to be a two-year pay freeze. We didn't complain too much, but we're not going to sit on our hands this time. And so they're kind of throwing down the gauntlet and saying, don't even go there, because it would mean an awful lot of pain for federal employees. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars over someone's career, most likely, if these if they have to kick in this extra 5% for their first pension.
Right, and on top of a pay freeze, you would have a permanent, as you say, a cut of 5% in the take-home pay, which is what counts is the take-home pay. And it's interesting because all of the federal unions, I believe, every one of them supported the Obama candidacy over John McCain, and I think the unions thought they were going to do very well, and they did the first year. That was the best year they had had in Congress and with the White House in a long time, but then suddenly it turned around. The decision to freeze federal pay for 2 years came from the White House itself, not the Congress, and the president appointed a commission, a bipartisan commission that was supposed to be kind of like the BRAC. And that they came up with a number of suggestions that, in theory, Congress was supposed to vote up or down, take or leave. They didn't do that. But apparently that's what the Biden group is doing now. They're looking at some of those recommendations from the Deficit Reduction Committee.
Yeah, that's right. And they're nothing's official yet. They're hoping to have come up to some solution by the beginning of July. But the reports are that pretty much one of the only things they can agree on is that federal employees should pay an equal portion of their defined benefit pension.
Yeah, that's incredible because when you guys reported it and the Washington Post reported it and we did too, but that the vice president knew enough about it to discuss it openly with the press, and he knew about FERS and the fact that 80% of the current workforce, maybe even more, is under FERS, and he used the figures. Right now, those people pay 0.8% of salary into the Federal Employees Retirement System as their share, and this proposal, which as you said is alive and very well, they would be required to pay 5.8%.
That's right. We get a lot of emails, as I'm sure you do, from people who are worried about this discussion of going from a high three to a high five.
Right.
And that is, as far as I'm concerned, the proposal to equalize contributions to the defined benefit is far more of a far greater impact than the high five would.
Oh yeah, and I mean people who've crunched the numbers. I don't trust any math that I do, but others have said that it might, if they went from a high three to a high five, which incidentally it used to be, it was a high five system for years in the federal government, and they went to the high three. But if they based it on your highest 5 year average salary instead of your highest 3 year average salary, you could work another, I think somebody said 6 months, and make up that in anything that would be lost. And again, as you all pointed out, this is nowhere to be seen. It's just it's one of those ideas that surfaces every year as a suggested way to save money, but there isn't a big savings to it, and it doesn't exist anywhere right now, does it?
Not at the moment, no. But as I said, the Biden Commission, the Biden group is looking for ways to pretty much any way to cut the deficit that they can, because it's in a very rough state. And I really expect the increased contribution to FERS defined benefit to be a portion of whatever this Biden group comes out with.
Yeah, that would be something. Well, you guys have watched this, and the federal unions, at least the leadership of them, endorsed President Obama, or they endorsed him for election. And they, as you said, they've been fairly quiet and reserved, more so, I suspect, than if President Bush had proposed a 2 year federal pay freeze. But do you think this might be the straw that breaks the camel's back if this one comes out?
Well, my take on it is I think labor is very much ambivalent about this administration, and as you were kind of suggesting, I think they did strongly back Obama during the campaign, and then in the 2+ years since he's been in office, I think they've been pretty disappointed, not just by this, but by a number of other things. Obama did fairly quickly create the Labor Management Partnership Council, which I think unions were very happy about, but the details that have been rolling out since have been kind of disappointing to them. I don't think they have the seat at the table they thought they were going to have in terms of deciding the fates of how agencies manage themselves. And we saw that very explicitly during the threat of the government shutdown, when they were screaming literally for the administration to share information about how that was going to affect employees. And they never got it until the last minute. So, and that really, I think, was the apex here.
Well, an administration official who deals sort of peripherally with labor issues said that in his opinion, the government unions were expecting too much, and they are sort of a victim of their own their anticipation that things were going to be perfect under this administration. And some things are not going to be. And, of course, the two-year pay freeze came as a surprise to them.
No question, they were shocked by the I think the speed at which the administration signed on to that.
And sort of the rejoinder from the administration was, you're lucky it could have been a 3-year freeze.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what the president's bipartisan commission had recommended. And that could also be in the works here with this debt ceiling extension.
You know, another thing that you guys brought to our attention is this proposal to change the methodology used to determine inflation, and instead of going with the consumer price index CPIW, which is the measure that we use now for inflation for federal retirement benefits, military retirement benefits, and Social Security, they would go to another system that could reduce it. I think you said as much as one percentage point with each increase.
Yeah, that's the study that I saw on this estimated the difference as on average about 1.1 percentage points of a difference. It's called the chain CPI, Consumer Price Index, and basically it would lower the annual COLA by 1.1 percentage points on average.
And that's a significant amount of money, because compounding works in both directions, going up and going down. So over a period of time, people could over 5 years, they could lose more than 5% of the raise they would have gotten under different circumstances.
Yeah, and that is a component that seems to be getting some pretty wide endorsement from the various deficit-related groups out there who are proposing their own.
Okay. I want to ask you about that when we get back, because that's one of the tip of the iceberg we're looking at now. Be right back. I'm talking with Steve Watkins, Steve Losey from the Federal Times. Be right back here on WFPD.
While the wheel was being invented, prehistoric man probably took a snack break. And today, we still grab a little something-something to tide us over when we're on the job. Something sweet or salty or fatty. Unfortunately, those snacks often end up lowering our energy level. And a poor diet can increase our weight while decreasing our ability to work effectively. At Kaiser Permanente, we just think the work snack needs updating. Say, fruit bowls and veggie plates at meetings. Or putting locale choices in the vending machines. Even lunchtime trips to local farmers markets. It's total health thinking. That's what Kaiser Permanente does for employers that choose us. Provides tools for companies to keep employees healthy and productive. Find out how a Kaiser Permanente plan can help your employees and your business thrive. Go to kp.org/thrive9to5.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
With vacation time just around the corner, Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center and switch your existing system at no cost and that great $18.95 rate. And Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
Attention employees of the intelligence community and Department of Defense. Right now, you could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126. Group term life coverage for GIBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
As the president begins the drawdown process in Afghanistan, some other things are going to change. There will be a shift from quick impact stability programs run by international agencies to economic growth and infrastructure projects run by Afghans over the long term. Hydroelectric dams, gas fields, mines, dams, roads, and increased agricultural production will be the focus as we approach the drawdown deadline of 2014. I'm J.J. Green.
Solar activity, which causes geomagnetic storms in space, can impact everything. From over-the-horizon radar, often used for aircraft and missile launches from a long distance away, to submarine detection systems, to two things we've come to rely on, our cell phones and GPS. Airink has developed a space environmental impact tool that advises, before it happens, what will be affected by bad weather in space. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says it will cut its IT costs for email and collaboration services in half by moving all its employees to the cloud. Science Agency has just issued a three-year contract to handle email, calendar, collaboration, and mobile device synchronization. NOAA says it's the largest federal agency to move to a cloud solution so far. They expect to migrate 25,000 mailboxes to the new service by the end of this year.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com. How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates, www.excelgov.com, www.excelgov.com. Wake up and drive in with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris on The Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Steve Watkins and Steve Losey from the Federal Times. Steve Watkins is the editor, and Steve Losey is the senior writer. And, guys, you're tracking things, and I wanted to ask you in a minute about buyouts government-wide and about the situation in the Postal Service. But to the point we were discussing before the break, some of these hidden things that would produce tremendous revenue savings to the government. And I would think this one of going to the chain CPI, which would reduce future payouts of COLAs to federal retirees, to people getting military retired pay, and especially to Social Security, I would think that would have a tremendous appeal for the politicians, in part because it's hard to understand, and also because it's the kind of thing that people, after maybe being initially angered by it, would sort of forget about it because they would never know what they were losing.
Well, that may be right, but I don't know. I think of all the letters that we receive from retired feds, and they have long memories. So I don't know, and they count their finances pretty carefully. So I think there's still a group of Americans out there who would feel this, and I think, not be so forgiving.
I think if they knew what was happening to them each year, they would be outraged. But you know, after if this has been in place for a year or two, they'd say the cost of the inflation rate is 6%, and when it normally would have been 7% under the old system. But yeah, well, we may well be able to find out about that. On the deal buyouts, I know you guys are getting a lot of queries from people as we are here. And, in fact, this week heard from Defense, IRS, DISA, Social Security, and somebody in agriculture. And they said, are we going to get buyouts? What's the situation? What's the outlook? So where are we so far with buyouts?
Well, it seems like, you know, every week we hear about one or two more agencies that are thinking about buyouts or offering buyouts or applying for buyouts. You know, we had agriculture a few weeks ago say they were going to offer buyouts to about, you know, 544 employees. Then and then GPO came out, the government printing office, and said they were looking to cut 15% of their staff. Then last week at the senior executives conference, there was discussion from the ATF about possible buyouts, and the CDC and HHS about, you know, maybe furloughs, maybe early retirement. So it seems like the ball just keeps rolling, and we hear about agencies here and there. So I think what we're seeing is agencies are realizing what a dire budget situation the federal government is facing, not just in 2011, but everybody's expecting 2012 to be even tighter, and they're trying to find out places where they can cut their costs and save. And agencies seem to be coming to the same conclusion that staffing is probably one of the easiest ways to cut those costs.
I think a lot of people got used to the 1990-style buyouts, which were started in defense and were primarily located in defense. But when they did have them, they tended to be agency-wide. They'd say everybody who's eligible can take early retirement and get up one of these buyouts, and they just let it happen. It seems in the last few years that although the agencies have more leeway to offer it, they don't have to go to Congress for permission, they are much more surgical in their approach.
That's correct. You know, when the word came out about GPO, I talked to their chief human capital officer, and I said, how are you going to do this? And they are looking at a very targeted sort of area. You know, when they did some buyouts in previous years, they realized that they had been left with a, you know, lopsided supervisor-employee ratio, so they're trying to target and cut 25% of their supervisory positions. They're putting together workforce plans to find places where they've got a little more employees than they actually need, and they're going to try to target those buyouts and early outs to those areas. So, yeah, it's not just this time around. It's not going to be, hey, you know, everyone who wants a buyout can have a buyout. They're going to be very surgical about who gets these.
Yeah, and I mean, this seems to be the pattern. The agriculture one is, as you said, limited to about 544 people, and they know specifically who they are and where they're at. How about the Postal Service?
Yeah, well, the Postal Service obviously is going through some big downsizing. It's already offered buyouts, $20,000 buyouts. I think something like 2,000 employees ended up taking those. That was part of a broader plan to cut costs. They also closed down 7 district offices, and they're going forward now with a reduction in force, targeting something like 2,500 employees. So by September, they will either be out of the agency or in other jobs. So that's an ongoing thing at the Postal Service, and we just saw today some news that I'm sure is going to get a lot of people's attention, where the Postal Service announced that it's going to stop making the employer contributions into the FERS pension fund for its FERS employees. And the Postal Service reasons that it can afford to do this because it's been overpaying into that. There's a surplus, they say, of $6.9 billion of employer contributions into the FERS pension account. And Postal Service has been complaining about this for quite a while, that they are obliged to overpay into their pension funds even while they are absorbing record-level financial losses. They're predicting that they're going to have at least an $8.3 billion financial deficit this year. So they're really hurting, and this is truly an extraordinary measure that they're taking here.
Well, I thought that they couldn't do it. I thought that the whole purpose of this exercise that they've been going to the Hill for 4 or 5 years now was to get congressional permission.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, and that was my initial thought, but I think what they were looking for was permission to use that money, redirect it to other other
needs. I see.
So it seems like they've come to the decision that they can do this unilaterally. They can't access that money, but they can just stop making those payments.
Okay, so they say, in effect, they've overfunded it by $6.9 billion, or they've got that much in the kitty. Huh?
Correct.
Now, how do other federal agencies operate this? Because I think some people are under the impression that there is a lockbox somewhere where money is deposited by the employee and by the agency, which is the lion's share, goes into this fund, and that's it. It's separate and distinct from everything else. But this all just goes into the Treasury, doesn't it?
Yeah, the Treasury has a pension fund, and in fact, this has come up because the Treasury has been dipping into that recently to help it avoid a breach of the debt ceiling. So that's been another issue. But yes, there is a pension fund for federal employees that agencies pay into, and of course, there is a small employee contribution as well that goes in there. But I think the Postal Service has special rules that where the contribution is distinct to that agency.
Okay, yeah, and this is very complicated. Every now and then somebody, usually in the media, discovers the unfunded liability, and it's always a staggering amount of money. But what that is it's money that you are promised to pay out someday, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30 years down the road when a person retires. But you don't need to, the argument is you don't need to have that unfunded liability eliminated and have all the money in the bank because you won't need it for a long time.
That's right. That's exactly right. And with the Postal Service, they are obliged by law to have that money in there. And same thing with the retiree health plan. That's been another source of complaint for the Postal Service that they are they've said they've been forced to overpay into that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's nice to be the Postal Service sometimes. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. And we're gonna we'll take a couple of weeks break here, but we will be back in 2 weeks. And remember, this show is archived on our homepage, so you can listen anytime. Have a good week. Be careful. Buckle up. See you soon.